Sorry, I was doo-dooing along.
I know. Hannah Stanley. This is Straight No Chaser. Ah, I love this. This is their version of 12 Days of Christmas.
Musical newsmen.
Straight No Chaser. Outstanding Ponce brother. Contribution to our Christmas repertoire. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We will be keeping you informed of all that is happening on Michigan Avenue. The protesters are gathering right here in Pioneer Court behind us, and we have Bob Kessler, newsman Bob Kessler, in studio with us, and also a reporter outside. Susan Berkus is outside. So as things develop, we will be bringing them to you. But in the meantime,
well, in the meantime, it is Black Friday, which has been over the last, you know, maybe 15 or so years, such a big part, not only of the economy,
the culture,
certainly the holiday culture and certainly the holiday shopping season. But it has changed so much, and to navigate that landscape, we've got one of our guests on. He is the Sigmund Edelston Professor of Marketing at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, the one and only Jean-Pierre Dubé. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much.
It is one of those things that it has become bigger than itself almost, Black Friday, and then now they've just spread it out so it's just Black November. It's just everybody's like, get your Black Friday deal now, and I'm like, but it's Halloween. Is it diminishing, or is this something that's still status quo?
Well, you're definitely right that the meaning of the Black Friday sale is becoming a little bit unclear. There's been some data analysis done in the last year, which shows that, in fact, the best deals are occurring not on Black Friday, but the week before in stores and on Cyber Money on the Internet. So if anything, Black Friday is really become degenerating into a marketing event where you promote deals, but the actual prices may not be the best of the season.
Here's the thing. You've got this fine line. It's obviously something that the shopping community, that a lot of the, you know, distributors, marketers, stores, they've got something here. They've got our attention. We know to pay attention, and we know to buy when it's got that Black Friday label on it, regardless of the day or so. How do they kind of straddle that line to keep it something that we're doing, but also keep it special? It's like eggnog all year doesn't work, turkey all year doesn't work. How do you keep Black Friday special?
Well, I think you're actually hit the nail on the head. It's not special anymore. In fact, we're already hearing early reports that Black Friday, the traffic is a little disappointing this year. I think people now just view it, as you said, November shopping season, and the stores are kind of at fault for this, although in some ways it's not entirely their fault. This is kind of a trap. You know, we all know that people start thinking about Christmas shopping on the Friday after Thanksgiving. And so stores figuring this out start advertising prices and deals, promotions, anything they can to get that big pool of shoppers into their stores. And so if I'm the only one who can do this, it's in my interest, I'm going to win that big pool of shoppers. If all my competitors are doing it, now I definitely have to do it just to defend myself. And the result, all the stores are doing these deals. Now, what do you do when you're all doing a deal? You need to figure out a way to preempt all these competitors. And this is what we've seen in the last 5 years. Black Friday has been creeping forward in time. In 2011, it became Black Thursday night at midnight. And then over time, in the last couple of years, Black Thursday afternoon at 6 p.m. And now stores are opening first thing in the morning on Thanksgiving Thursday. So as you said, this is just becoming it's a degenerative thing where the whole meaning is being lost. And as I said earlier, the result, we're not seeing the kind of Black Friday traffic that we were used to in past years.
Yeah, Target did a thing this past Wednesday where many of their Black Friday deals were available on Wednesday. And when I started in the morning, I was searching for the item that I wanted, which happened to be the Apple Watch. And online, there were very, very many, both available for ordering to have shipped and for pickup in the store. And by the time I got home, they were almost all gone. So people who waited until Black Friday would have missed out entirely on that particular item. What are you seeing as maybe the best deal this year?
Well, I don't have any data yet, so this is something I can't really comment on. That's the unfortunate part of data analysis. It's always in hindsight. although the people who might be the most interesting to consult with at this point might be the mobile phone companies. You know, they've already been really interesting demonstrations in past Black Fridays that just by counting how many mobile phones through their GPS, that is, are actually entering into parking lots of big stores, you can get a pretty good early read on what Black Friday sales are going to look like. Well, so I saw a study on this at Macy's a year ago.
Well, you're seeing here. Here's the thing: is instead of that dynamic where people kind of, wait in a parking lot, whether it's earlier or whether it's the day before, now you're seeing the manufacturers of the products that usually are for sale in those stores actually kind of preempting the whole situation and going directly to the people. You mentioned the cell phones. Mm-hmm. I saw ads yesterday where Verizon had 10-inch tablets for $50 for that day, and then you're seeing manufacturers of different TVs or Fitbit like actually going to the people, having a commercial on and say, forget about going to Best Buy or whatever for it. Just come straight to us and we'll give you the deal.
That's right. Well, it's been a really interesting opportunity as more and more of that sales volume moves onto the internet and into the digital domain that manufacturers can start disintermediating. They're like, wow, we don't even need the retailer anymore.
Right.
In some sense, the retailers created this phenomenon and I guess with the internet in hand, have handed it over to the manufacturers in some cases.
Interesting observation. Has this shifted with people being able to be so much more shopping savvy, where I can walk in and say that deal isn't that great because here on my phone I can scan it and look at 4,700 other prices and figure out that if I walk across the street it's $50 cheaper. So is that kind of gone hand in hand with the diminishing of the power of Black Friday?
Well, there's the paradox. I don't think so. I just don't think people actually pay attention to whether or not the price is good or bad. I think people just respond to the sales sign. You would be amazed to see how poor consumer shopping knowledge is. This is something academics have known for a long time. Folks doing research would do things as simple as just running a survey where you intercept people as they're leaving a retail store, having just made a purchase. And you, especially in a place like where groceries, where you have many different products, you just ask people, were you a careful shopper? They always answer yes. They want to do what best they can with their budget. Then you randomly take things out of their bags, stuff they just bought, ask them what they paid. They're off by a margin of plus or minus 15%. Wow. People have no idea what they paid.
Some of the items that are out there that people are kind of talking about that are some of the hot items for Christmas or for the holidays, and the manufacturers are involved, but then also some of the stores are kind of upping the ante too. So Target has Beats headphones for $96 as opposed to the $199. Walmart iPad minis $199, normally at least $100 more. And then iTunes is even getting involved too, $6.99 albums for the next through Monday. So, I mean, this is, everybody's kind of doing their thing, but I agree, if you can go direct to the people, you're ahead of the game for sure.
And certainly what you've just identified are what I would call some very high salience prices. They're sort of must-have kinds of products. Everybody knows the price. They're heavily advertised. So you lure the people to your website or lure them into your store, whatever it may be, virtual or physical, using those must-have item prices. And then once you got that customer there, you then lure them to other items with sales signs, and that's where I suspect the price knowledge may be lacking. And where a Verizon might not have the advantage of a Walmart or a Target is, I'm not sure whether Verizon have as many things they can actually sell that customer once they bring them to the website. So now the question is, does Verizon really want to sell someone a discounted item? You're just basically handing over margin. Target does, because then you're going to go shop and buy other stuff.
We were just talking about this off air, where I have to, because I did in fact purchase the Apple Watch because I got the $100 gift card, and I'm going to pass that savings right back to Target because I have other things to get while I'm there.
Oh, well, there you go. It's like your classic razors and blades pricing.
Right.
They sell you a cheap razor, in this case an Apple iWatch, and then they're going to make all the money on the blades, which in this case is going to be all the other stuff you're going to buy at Target.
Are we finding better deals at the bricks and mortar locations or via the website and the apps?
That's a good question. The best data I've seen on that was by Adobe, and Adobe claimed that online sales in 2014 were actually better the week before than what was being paid at the Black Friday sales in the stores the day of.
Wow.
Wow. Well, just let the listeners know we're talking with Jean-Pierre Dubé. He is the professor at the Sigmund Edelson Marketing at University of Chicago Booth School of Business, talking about some of the dynamics of Black Friday. Here's something that I have always wondered. You've got your Walmart, your Targets, they're standalone boxes, in the middle of a street somewhere. They're not typically associated or attached with malls. What are the thought process? Usually malls would get a bunch of, people could go in many, many stores. People would do all their Christmas shopping at one place and at one time. I mean, are we seeing the end of the traditional big shopping mall?
That's a very good question. I can tell you that one thing shopping malls have allegedly started doing in the past couple of years is actually threatening stores that refuse to be open on Black Friday or Thursday, because the mall just needs that traffic. They need to have every store taking part because they want to get the customer into the mall. So if a big store, especially an anchor store, says we're not going to be open on Thanksgiving Day or we're not going to be open Black Friday for various reasons, that's bad for business at the mall.
Yeah, I have heard, as you've said, I've heard of fines being levied against stores by the mall, in addition to the rent that they pay anyway. But we've seen the decline of malls in general anyway.
And not for normal demographic reasons. You've got one that may have great deals, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. I've seen malls, and there's one where my parents live, Hannah, you live out in St. Charles. There's a lot of people around there. The mall is dying. Even malls like Woodfield have been facing a lot of struggles. It's just changing.
Certainly when you start hearing these stories of malls levying fines and using what seem like pretty draconian tactics, you got to wonder, is this sort of a sign of something in decline?
Yeah, it really, it's very interesting, too, with the fact that so much of this Black Friday could be affected by the weather. We have terrible storms through a good portion of the country right now. That's going to keep some faint of heart at home, especially when they can get the same deals online.
Absolutely. You know, I think in the long term, we're going to have to start asking ourselves, what is the future of the shopping mall or even the physical retail store? And I've got to believe there are certain kinds of products where the customer really wants to go and buy it from a live person, either because it's very expensive, it's high quality, you know, luxury apparel, for example.
You got to try it on.
These are things we like to try it on. Yep. Yeah, trying it on is part of the experience for some people. The problem is Black Friday and discounts seems totally at odds with the strategy of managing luxury goods. This is the last thing you want to be discounting.
Tell me, Professor, how is Small Business Saturday playing into this shopping weekend? Has it had a bigger foothold now that it's started kind of to be a bigger movement?
That's a good question. And the reason is that some of these stores that have really actively advertised that they will not be open on Black Friday and that, you know, their marketing of being closed on Black Friday certainly includes appeals to the worker and the worker's family and sort of these traditional core values. What we don't know yet is whether or not this is a genuine cultural and moralistic stance, or whether this is just another marketing tactic. And what we also don't know is whether or not the customer will respond to this. It will be interesting to see if, A, those that were closed on Friday actually do generate some business by the types of customers who value tradition, and to the extent that they do not, will they remain closed in future years in spite of it not helping them with their business? Just remember, Macy's announced a few years ago it wouldn't open. It wouldn't open early for the Black Friday sales, saying that it espoused these kinds of traditional values, and the following year they were open Thursday evening.
All the benefit, and then they went right back.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. It's just hard to manage a business and at the same time trying to espouse these values that are at odds with your business.
Well, we know that the data, of course, looking in hindsight, you're going to be able to tell us just how bad a shoppers we were and how the scene is changing. People want to catch up with you and find out that as time moves forward. Where's some contact information or where people can catch up with you and all your research?
Well, definitely the booth website. You'll find through both my own faculty website and through the Kilt Center for Marketing. This is a website and center at the University of Chicago that manages and houses academic databases for research purposes from Nielsen. They're all geared towards retail. And we got a bunch of retailing experts at the University of Chicago. They're my fine colleagues. So come to our website, take a look at our research, go to the Kilt Center website, and take a look at the kind of work that's being done at the University of Chicago.
Well, give us one of the actual addresses for that website.
Sure. We have the booth website, of course. If you want the Kilt Center website, I always Google it. I'm actually end up doing a plug for Google on this. Goodness, I'm put on the spot.
That's okay.
Not knowing my own URL.
We'll just Google you.
The research.chicagobooth.edu/kilts.
Jean-Pierre Dubay, of course, keep up with him. He has hand on the pulse of Black Friday and so much more. Thanks so much for being on WGN today.
Thank you all, and enjoy your holiday weekend.
You as well. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in on WGN for Bill and Wendy. They'll be back with you on Monday, and we'll be back with you right after this.